this morning. Daniel chapter 4. While you're turning there, I did forget to read one thing. I want to read this to you real quick while you're turning there. It says, thank you for everyone's thoughts and prayers for the loss of my grandmother. The plan is beautiful and one of her favorites. Thank you so much. Truly appreciate everything. Bobby Brooks and family. So Daniel chapter 4, 28 through 35. Daniel chapter 4, 28 through 35. Says this, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence from the glory of my majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws. Let's pray. Father, again this morning, I thank you for our time that we can spend with one another worshiping you today. And Lord, there is a lot in this scripture. And Father, I thank you for the time that I've got to spend over the last several weeks just thinking about this and praying about this and what we're going to go through. And Lord, encourage us this morning where we need to be encouraged. Convict us where we need to be convicted, Lord. And if there's wicked way in us, let us repent of that. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So let me start this morning by saying I am glad to be back. It's fun to go on vacation, and you're kind of excited, you know, the morning that you leave to go, and you're really excited to go. But then, by the end of it, when you pull into your driveway, you really just have this sense of, like, there's nothing like being home, like home sweet home, right? And when you're gone, away from something or someone, you appreciate it a little bit more when you come back. And so I'm glad to be home, sweet home, and I'm glad to be back today. And let me say this. Let me start with this. One of the things that I really thought about, I think about this a lot, but one of the things I thought about the 2 weeks that I was gone a lot about was this church. I never really think about my secular job that much, but I think about this body and this church a lot. And where we've gone, where we've come from, where we've gone, and the future, where this body is now, and what are our goals for the next 10 years here. So that being said, over the course of the next several weeks, we're going to get out of the book of John for just a little bit, but I want to talk about what does God want for this church in the next 10 years? How can we fulfill his goal for our lives, our families, our community, our church? Where do we want to go? And this is a good time if you've been thinking about, you know, we have a new members class starting up. If you've been thinking about joining this church over these next several weeks, it's going to be a good time for you to evaluate, okay, hey, what's the mission of this church? And pray about that. So this morning I want to start with this. And I think this is the most important sermon that I'm going to preach probably in the next, I don't like saying that, but it really is. If we don't have this right this morning, everything else just goes haywire. We have to have this right this morning. And it has to start with this, that God built it, he is going to keep building it, and so we better honor him. We better glorify him. It should be about him. It has to be about him. So a little bit of context here in the scripture I read to you this morning. King Nebuchadnezzar was this great king of Babylon. And like I told the kids, if you go back in the chapters of Daniel, he was a very, very proud man that wanted everyone to look at him. In fact, he built this statue, as I told them in chapter 3. And he told everybody at the sound of the musical instruments is going to bow down to this statue and worship me. He wanted people to worship him. He was a very, very proud man. And he had built this huge city. Some of the Hanging Gardens, and when I read this week about it, some of the Hanging Gardens in the city were some of the best and most beautiful in the whole world. It was like just a fortress also. It had three walls, triple walls around the city. It was just an amazing thing. Nothing had really been spared in making it. There was gold, there was silver, there was cedar, precious stones. I talked about the walls, just everything. It was just this massive city. He literally was the king at that time. I mean, he was the top dog at that time. So let's go back to the word, and let's go back to verse 28. Go back to verse 28, and let's go back through this, and we're going to see what happens with him. And this sermon is really a warning. This really is a warning to myself. It's a warning to the church, the body that's written here. Daniel 4, and he went through it, and we could very easily fall into this. So Daniel 4, 28 through 30, it says this: "All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, 'Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence for the glory of my majesty?'" So we see the king, he takes a walk on his roof, and he looks out over the roof. For some reason, when kings walk on roofs, it never goes good. It didn't go good for David, and it doesn't go good for Nebuchadnezzar. But I guess it's a prideful thing. So he gets up high, elevated, and he looks out, and he sees this great city, and what does he do? He gives himself credit. He says, "Look what I have done." And he gets really, really full of himself. He never got over that. He gets really full of himself. And what did he forget? He forgot that everything that he had been given to him from who? God. He left God out of the equation. When God was the author behind all of it. God was behind all of it. Guys, today, if we can't look at that passage of Scripture and say, we better be careful, there's a warning there that we can become very, very arrogant and prideful in our own life. And how do we do that? I mean, we see it. When I was thinking about that this week, what do we say? And even if we don't say it, we think it. Well, look at my job. What kind of job I got? Or look at my house. Look at my car. Look what I've done. It starts to become about us. And we start making it about us. We can become arrogant about the church. Look at my Sunday school class. Look what I've done in youth. Look what I've done with the Bible study. Look what I've done in the outreach. Look what I've done from the pulpit. It can become about us. And what's the key word there? I. It starts to become like us. And then we get really defensive over it. Like when we start taking ownership of something and think that it's about us, what naturally happens? You start defending it. Like, this is my pulpit. Nobody's going to get between you and me and the pulpit, right? And we can develop this attitude like, it's mine. No, it's not. It's God's. It's not my Sunday school class. It's God's. It's not Mike Estelle's outreach. I'm picking on Mike. It's God's. It's not Jeff's pulpit. It's God's. And so we can become very, very easily, we can lose our focus, and we can start to shift to what I've done and look at me instead of staying focused on what God's done. Look at me versus what God has done. So here's the thing. How does this tie into the future? If we want to prosper, and we want to be doing what God has called us to do, we have to acknowledge that it's by the hands of God and not the hands of men. It's not about us. It's about Him. And so we think about this. Does it take us losing everything like Nebuchadnezzar before we appreciate the greatness of God? That it's about Him and not us? There's so many warnings in Scripture about this. Proverbs 16:18. Proverbs 16:18 says this: "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." So we become prideful. that we think that we've accumulated it, we've done it. And literally, Solomon says those words. We see that verse played out right there with Nebuchadnezzar. We see it. In Nebuchadnezzar's arrogance and his pridefulness, he's driven from the city, as I told the kids, to live what? Like an animal. To live like an animal, to eat grass like an ox. His hair got long like eagle's feathers, and his nails became like that of like claws. Can't imagine that, but it had to have been, man, that's rough, right? Because he became arrogant. Now listen, when we become arrogant and think that God has blessed us, we miss out. When we become arrogant and think that what God has blessed us with is by our own doing, we miss out on the blessings. When things good happen and we want to take credit for it, guess what happens? We miss out on the blessings. Here's scripture behind that. Matthew chapter 6. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Verses 1 through 6. These verses are about worshiping and giving and taking credit for it. And this is what Jesus says. Matthew 6, 1 through 6. Says this, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets when they say, be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So when we do good, when we give, it shouldn't. The focus so many times we want to put on us, and the focus should be on Him. Look, you can apply that to everything that we do in the church. Everything that we do in the church can be applied to that. And what's those verses about? It's about pride. It's the same thing. Being arrogant and prideful, that you want the attention. So when we serve the Lord, listen, here's the bold statement. When we serve the Lord, if we are doing it for any other reason than to glorify God, then we're not storing up treasure in heaven. We're getting the glory here, and that's the only reward you're going to get. When we want to be recognized by men, you know what that is? That's a heart issue. That's a heart issue, and God knows the heart. Now listen, here's the thing. I can't look at someone and know what their motive is. Like, we don't have x-ray vision. Right? I can't see the heart. I can't see what someone's motivation is for what they do. But you know who can? God. God. He knows the heart. He knows what our motivation is. He knows. All right, let's go back to Daniel chapter 4. Go back to Daniel chapter 4. Go down to verses 34 and 35. Go down to 34 and 35. We see that he finally comes to his senses here. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? So there's a couple of really, really important things that we can take out of this. There's a lot of important things. We want to focus on two of them. First thing is that Nebuchadnezzar finally realized who God was. He realizes who God was. And like he didn't have a chance before, when he threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you go back and read in Daniel chapter 3, he also makes this big statement in Daniel chapter 3 that what? No one will worship anyone else but the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, he didn't even listen to his own words, because you go into chapter 4 and what's he doing on his roof? Look what I've done. Worship me. Look what I've done, right? So here he finally, we think, he acknowledges God's absolute authority over everything. Over everything. To look over the greatness of our lives, look at the greatness of Crossbridge, and who should we give praise to? God. That's it. God alone. Now listen, guys, I think we just have to be honest this morning. Let's be honest with yourself this morning. Sometimes we give lip service to that. We may say that with our lips. We may say that with our lips. With our words, we may say, God, you're over it. It's yours. You got it. But in the back of our minds, we think, man, I really worked that out. Man, I really got that taken care of. I got it done. And we think, we might not say them because we know we're being arrogant. But we think, man, nobody can teach like me. Nobody can do evangelism like me. Nobody can preach like me. Nobody can understand the Bible like me. I think if we're being honest with ourselves today, everyone in here has had those kind of thoughts at one time or another. And you know what that is? That's arrogance, it's pridefulness, and it's sin. It's sin. If we want to see, if we really want to see the best that God has for us and this church, we must start by saying, God, it's about you. You're holy, you're in charge, you're sovereign. King Nebuchadnezzar finally gave honor to God and realized what? That he was as not important as he thought he was. He was just not as important as he thought he was. It didn't take much for God to completely change his surroundings and bring him to his knees. He understood. When he understood who God was, when he understood who God was and who he wasn't, what did he do? He humbled himself. He lifted his eyes before heaven. He lifted his eyes towards heaven and he blessed who? God. He blessed God, not himself. So it brings some questions. What about us? What about us this morning? How much? When are we going to lift our eyes to God and give him all the credit and all the glory and all the honor? Because so far too often, we try to take credit for what God is doing in our life. We look at it and we see all the work that he's doing, and instead of worshiping him, we puff ourselves up. We think we have the Superman t-shirt on underneath. And we look at me and we puff ourselves up instead of giving credit to God. Listen, here's the thing. If we want to see God work in this church, if we want to see God work in the community, we have to make sure that everything that we are doing is pointing people to him and nothing else. We better make sure that he is the one that is being worshipped, not man. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Has to be about him, not about man. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go down to verse 10. It says this. Paul says this. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, except for Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. What's happening there? There's division because guess what happens? There starts to be people that follow this person. And there starts to be people that follow this person. And guess what happens? Little cliques and little divisions start happening all over the church. And Paul says, what are you following a man for? Why are you following Jeff? Why are you following him? You should be following God. And that's exactly what happens. And you know, listen, the people that are following them, guess what happens with that person that people say, I followed Paul or I followed Apollos? They become puffed up with pride. They become puffed up with pride that they even allow it to happen. We should be worshiping God, pointing people to him, not ourselves. Think about the difference it would make in our lives and the life of this body, if everything that we did, we gave absolute glory to God. Think about that. If everything in your life that happened to you, you gave absolute authority and glory and honor to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul gives us a charge later on. He says, so whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. It went along with what was taught in Sunday school this morning. Everything we have to be doing should be for God's glory. Everything. All right. Here's the second lesson here. A second thing that Nebuchadnezzar knew. Go back to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. Says this, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? King Nebuchadnezzar understood who God was, and he understood who he was. That he was nothing. That he was nothing. An amazing thing happens when we realize who God is and we realize who we are. What is the first thing that we have to have an understanding of to be a follower of Christ for salvation? That God is holy and we're not. That we're not. Before he was humiliated and sent to eat grass in the fields, he was puffed up with pride because of his accomplishments. And so they're taken away, and he realizes what James says in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Everything that I have, God did. Nebuchadnezzar had to realize that. He finally realizes that, who God is and who he is. He understood he was nothing. There's the words again. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. You know what he's doing at that point? He's humbling himself before God. We have to do the same thing. We have got to humble ourselves before God. When we pray, when we worship, when we teach, when we preach, evangelize, disciple, when we clean the kitchen, when we serve the community, when we count the money, if we serve as deacons, if we serve as elders, as pastors, we must come before God with complete humility, or don't do it. When you give, if your heart, that's what Matthew chapter 6 is saying. If your heart and your intentions and your mind are not in the right place, then don't do it. Don't do it. It'd be better to not do it. If it's not about him, if God is not the object of our labor and our service, if it's for any other reason than to glorify the God of the universe, then don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. If we are to approach a holy God completely humble before him, that he is the object. Psalms 95, 6 says this, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. What does kneeling do? It reduces us and it elevates God. Kneeling before God reduces our stature before him and brings honor to him. When we pray, what do? We bow our heads to show that we're humble before him. This all goes back to Christ and salvation through him. The only way that someone is saved is when they become humbly before him and realize they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And they're broken because of their sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It all ties into it. Now listen, here's the thing. I'll start to wrap this up. I said earlier, and we may not want to admit it. I don't want to admit it. But all of us, myself included, more than anybody, if we look at our lives and say, look what I have done. We're arrogant, prideful, and it's sin. Now here's the thing. As I close this, I don't want you to think about anybody else right now. I don't want you to think about your neighbor. I don't want to think about your mother-in-law. I don't want you to think about anybody. I want you to focus on yourself right now. What are your motives? Why do you do what you do? Maybe you're not doing anything. What are our motives behind what we do? Is it arrogance or pridefulness in your life right now? Is there any area of what we do that has arrogance and pridefulness in that we need to repent of? Listen, because we're sinners, because we're children of God, He is rich in mercy and love. He sent His Son to pay for the penalty of our sin. He loves us. He forgives us when we turn to Him and ask for forgiveness. When we truly realize what God did for us on the cross, you know what it does? It humbles us. It humbles us. And we want to give Him the glory and honor. Maybe you're here today and that's the first step. You're getting down on your knees and realizing you have sinned. You are separated from a relationship with God because of your sin. And you need forgiveness. You need to confess your sin and believe in Jesus. Maybe you're here, one of my brothers and sisters, and I know this is a challenging thing here. Maybe you're here this morning and you're prideful. Maybe it's not anything you say. Maybe it's not even anything in your actions, but it's in here. It's in here. And God knows. God knows. You need to repent of that. In closing today, I started this as a building block, as a vision for what we want to be. What does this church want to be? I started with here. What do we want God to accomplish in our lives over the next 10 years? What do we want God to accomplish in this community with this church? I started with this because if there's anything that we do here, if we do anything here that is not to bring glory to God and honor Him, it's worthless. It's worthless and it will not stand. It will take a mighty fall. Everything that we do has to be about honoring Him. King Nebuchadnezzar realized God was holy and that everything he had came from God. It wasn't about him, it was God. That has to be our attitude. That has to be our vision. God is holy. We want to honor Him with everything, with our mission work, our classes, our discipleship, our love for one another. If we do it for any other reason, guys, it's just pointless. It's pointless. So my question is, have you humbled yourself before God, or do you need to humble yourself before God today and ask forgiveness of your sin? Last thing, there's not an invitation this morning because we're going to take communion here in a minute. This one I want to challenge you to do. I'm going to ask this morning, you just stay in your seats. You just bow your heads in prayer. I want you to pray for our church body. I want you to pray for every area of our church, from the elders, the deacons, the members, the visitors, that we will be completely humble before God, that He will get all the glory, that He will allow us to be used for His glory in this church, in this community. I'm going to ask you to pray right now where you are for a couple of minutes. Just spend some time in prayer about that. While you're praying this morning, let me say this before we start communion. We're commanded this morning in Scripture. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that whoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. So he tells us to examine ourselves. And he says, this is why many of you are weak or have died. So before we take communion this morning, I'm going to ask that you also this morning, if you have unconfessed, unrepentant sin in your life, confess that before the Lord before you take communion this morning. So you can spend a little bit of time if you need to do that. We're going to take a couple of more minutes, and then I'll ask the elders to come. So take a couple of more minutes this morning. All right, I'm going to ask our elders to please come this morning, and Denny. As they come this morning, we do not require you to be a member at Crossbridge, just that you have made a public profession of faith in Christ as your Savior to take communion with us. So you don't have to be a member here. You have to be one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as Paul says, examine yourself before you take this. So I hope you've done that. If you have unconfessed, unrepentant sin in your life, don't take communion this morning. That's going to be between you and God. But there is a clear warning here that we like to relay. Today we've talked about everything that we do must glorify God. And as we now get ready to take communion together, this whole thing is about Him. It's the very important time where we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. That's why we do this. It's not for any other reason but to point to His sacrifice and the price that was paid for our sin. And as we remember that this morning. So Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 26 that Jesus had gathered with His disciples to celebrate the Passover meal. In Matthew 26:26 says this, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and after blessing it, He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, take ye and eat, this is my body which is given for you. So we're going to pass out communion. Underneath, you're going to have two cups in one. The bread is underneath. We will take the bread together as one. I'm going to ask Max if you would please bless the bread this morning.
Heavenly Father, we come before you and we remember the sacrifice you made. Your body was broken for us and the bread represents that. As we've heard this morning, without you we have nothing. And with you we have freedom from the bondage of our sin. Life. We have everything. It's all about you. And with you, we have everything. We just give you glory and honor for this. And we remember what you did and remember that you're coming again. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. While they are passing this out this morning, you can spend time in prayer if you'd like to. Since it's Family Sunday, you can also explain to your kids right now, if you have kids, if you'd like to, what we're doing. And this is a time for them to learn also, or spend a quiet time in prayer.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Men's and women's Bible study tonight at 6 p.m. You are dismissed. I'll have a great day.